From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
Russia's President Vladimir Putin hosted a meeting about the COVID-19 virus on Monday, and we bring you excerpts of that meeting, which was televised nationally.
In the midst of a pandemic, all the regions were supposed to draft up plans based on recommendations from the Russian watchdog, from the government. These plans need to take into account the real situation on the ground, take into account the safety and health concerns of the people. We need to rely on the degree of the threats. And it's the doctors and specialists that have the ultimate say here. And I will sign a decree tomorrow based on the opinion of doctors, and that will be the legal ground for the federal authorities, the regional and local officials. It's unwavering. The priority for us is the life and health of our people. Today, on the 11th of May, the non-working period is coming to an end since March the 30th. Actually, it's been more than 6 weeks. It's an extraordinary measure, and it has helped us to slow down the curve. And that has helped us to buy time. We've used this time to ramp up the capacity of the healthcare system in case there's a surge in cases. The number of specialized beds has increased from 29,000 to 130,000. We have extra supplies of medical equipment, and we have some backup reserves of ventilators. It's good that they're still in the warehouse. Only a small part of them is active. That means that each region is ready to provide crisis care, specialized care, including intensive care unit treatment. And doctors know much more about the disease than they used to. They have their own experience, and they rely on practice by international colleagues. We have tested new techniques and methods thanks to new drugs, and we have ramped up production of these drugs. And thanks to international, what we see from the national experience is that the high rate of death has been due to the fact that hospitals have been overburdened. They didn't have the capacity to save everyone. We can do that. And thanks to these measures, we have saved thousands of lives. Certainly, it's the doctors, nurses, who will be having their professional holiday tomorrow. They have helped us. And once again, we appreciate the hard work, the courage of these workers. We understand that it's extremely difficult for them. And so they've been very dignified in carrying out their professional duty. And I call on all of the governors, including all of the watchdogs. Today we need to help medical workers. We need to provide them with all the necessary materials, equipment, and we need to make sure that they don't waste time on inspections and paperwork. Cut the red tape, and I urge the government to take all the measures. Now, what else has changed in the past weeks? We have increased dramatically testing. We started from 2,500 testing. Now we do about 170,000 tests a day. That's one of the biggest indicators in the world. But it's not just about numbers. What's important is that today we can detect and diagnose this disease at an early stage, particularly in those people who don't have any symptoms, and that helps to prevent any severe cases, to protect the lives, health of those individuals and his co-workers and those who live with that person in the household. We can curb the spread of the pandemic. And we understand the concerns of the Russians over more and more cases that we're seeing every day. But there have been cases that have been missed. And the more efficient we do our tests, the higher the diagnosis is, including the hidden cases, the faster we'll be able to overcome the pandemic. By May, we'll double the pace of testing, and it will be about 300,000 tests a day. And I urge the government and the healthcare ministry to continue working in this area. All of these measures has helped us to come to the next phase of the fight against the pandemic, to a gradual phased reopening. And there will be definitely some peculiarities. Can't have it in one go. We need to do it in a phased way, very gradually, step by step. And these easing of those restrictions have to take into account all of the sanitary rules and regulations. Now, what's also important is that Russia is a vast country, and the situation varies from region to other region. And we need to pursue an even more nuanced approach going forward. We can't just use any off-the-shelf approach. There can't be any universal rules. In one region, there could be overburdened restrictions on production facilities. So from the May the 12th, the nationwide non-working period for the entire country is over. But the fight against the pandemic is not over. The threat is still there, including in those areas where the situation is more or less okay. And there could be just a single-digit cases, but we cannot allow a resurgence. So it won't be fast. Reopening won't be fast. It will take a lot of time. So from May the 12th, at every phase until the full end of the pandemic, we will need to maintain general guidelines and also specific guidelines in the regions. So I call on the health authorities and governors to monitor the situation and monitor compliance with those guidelines. All the mass events cannot take place, we understand this, and we definitely need to adhere to hygiene rules that applies to shops, companies that provide in services to individuals, public transport, and enterprises, and shelter rules need to be in place for the elderly, and I call on them. I understand your concerns. I understand it's so difficult to stay at home. Very often you're far away from your children and grandchildren. I urge you to wait just a little bit more. It's a matter of life and death. we still need to keep those restrictions because we care about you. We do everything to shield you, to protect you from the virus. So that it's over the faster way. And I call on every official that's together with us. We need to take care of those who are in the nursery homes, nursing homes, in the any facilities that care about the elderly. Some people have chronic diseases and they are vulnerable even more. And those who work in those facilities carry high risks, and we need to provide some extra payment from the 15th of April till the 15th of July. They need to have some bonus payments for the threats that they are facing. And again, they need to get those extra payments for the previous period. 40,000 rubles for a two-week shift for the doctors and nurses in April. If they're dealing with COVID patients, it's 60,000 rubles. And for those who work in administrative nurses and education facilities, 25,000 rubles. If they work with COVID patients, 35,000 rubles. For lower-level nurses, it's 15 and 20,000 rubles. And for technical staff, it's 10 and 15,000 rubles, correspondingly, respectively. And again, the situation varies from one region to another. This is why the regions have the powers to be flexible. And today's decree reaffirms those authorities. Based on the up-to-date information, based on the doctor's opinions, the regions will take their own measure. What's the sequence of the next measures? Sometimes it may be needed to tighten restrictions. Sometimes it may be necessary to ease them. And again, all municipal authorities need to be in place. All of the essential workers, all the medical establishments, pharmacies, shops, groceries, and those that sell basic necessities need to continue working. And starting from May the 12th, everywhere possible, where it is possible, we need to restore the production facilities of the essential industries. That's manufacturing, agriculture, construction, telecom, the energy sector, and mineral resources. There are so many workers out there in those industries, and that means their livelihoods, the well-being of their families. And again, they don't contact with the consumers, and it means we can restart these operations with low risks. Again, all the hygiene measures need to be carefully adhered to. And governors need to rely on recommendations from the doctors and up-to-date information. And they can limit or temporarily shut down some of the facilities in coordination with the federal government if social distancing and hygiene rules cannot be enforced. And again, if that's the case, if that's necessary, then these workers will continue to get a full salary. Governors need to monitor the situation on a continuous basis. Here's another point. What we saw in May, in March and April had a negative impact on the economy. And we put together a list and we've expanded that list over time, a list of industries that has been hit and will be providing support. these companies that have large payrolls need to continue to make payments to their workers and not to run any arrears. Now we are gradually reopening the economy, and there'll be a new package of measures to support our people and the economy. We've discussed that with the government in detail. Now we'll talk about it separately. And once again, if some of the governors need to shut down facilities that are not part of the list of vulnerable facilities, they will need to think of new measures of how they can create jobs for these workers, and they'll need to coordinate these measures to get approval from the federal authorities. Your responsibility is extremely high, and that's I'm referring to the governors, and that applies both to preventive measures and to the reopening steps. We are all interested in having our economy back to normal as soon as possible. Take the example of Moscow. All construction and industrial facilities will return to work from tomorrow, and that is an indication that you can work in a safe environment, even if there are some threats. But again, that has to be a balanced decision, well thought through. You cannot just sit idly, and you cannot jump the gun. You need, it's a tight balancing act. It's a very delicate equilibrium that we need to maintain. And I would ask governments to help the regions in this reopening period. It's a challenging time, and there's no room for a mistake. You need to stay focused as strongly as ever. You need to be able to respond to any development, to any scenario. Colleagues, the pandemic and the restrictions that ensued have had a strong impact on the livelihoods of millions of our people. Incomes are down, debt is piling up, and unintended expenses are up, and that applies to sole proprietors, small businesses. Our focus from very onset was to help the needy, and the key criteria for the business community is, again, you need to keep your workers on the payroll. You need to continue making payments, and if you do that, we'll help you. As we start reopening the economy, we need to take care of those issues. We need to provide direct assistance to our individuals. Now, I'd like to call on those to listen carefully, particularly those who will be affected by the measures that these measures will apply to. Now, first of all, we're talking about households with families. They always have a lot on their plate. And today, if you don't have the livelihood, if you don't have the regular income, it's very difficult for these people, particularly if some of the parents or both are out of job. That could happen, unfortunately. As you know, there are additional measures for those who have the right for the maternity benefit. That's 5,000 rubles for every child up to 3 years, for every child up to 3 years old. And that money will be issued for 3 months. And also, there's an extra one, 3,000 rubles for those where parents are out of job. And again, that's another measure for 3 months. Further on, we've taken a decision that struggling households where the income is lower than the minimum wage will be able to get those entitlements, those allowances for their children who are between 3 and 7 years old. And they'll be able to do it since June the 1st, not July the 1st. And as I said, these payments will be made, or their base will start from this year. And so if you apply before June the 1st, and June the 1st you'll get all of the money, though in total it's going to be 33,000 rubles for every child. And they will continue to get regular payments on a monthly basis, and it's going to be about 5,000 rubles on average a month for one child. That's the average figure for Russia. But that's not enough. There are more families that need assistance. We've reinvigorated the banking system, we've built up some buffers, and we've improved the macroeconomic situation. We can now take further measures to support households and families. So first, we need to double the child benefit from 3,000 rubles to 6,751 rubles. That child benefit is available to those who don't work. And these are students, these are young mothers, and we need to support them. Now, as I said, there are extra benefits for children, for families with children, and who have the right, who are eligible for the maternity benefit. But there are also families who don't have that right. So for those families, there will be a 5,000 ruble payment for every month, and not just for May and June, but also for April. So in retrospect, retroactive payment, 5,000 rubles, that's available to all Russian families who have children under 3 years. And finally, another measure for the families with children. Starting from June the 1st, there'll be a lump sum payment of 10,000 rubles for each child between 3 years until they come of age, until they're 16. And again, people should not run into red tape. They shouldn't be able to get any, submit any documents on papers. We don't need any formal criteria. There's only one condition. That assistance should be provided to everyone, every person who is in need. Every Russian family that has children between 3 to 15 years inclusive will be able to apply for such lump sum payment. And you could do that tomorrow. You could do that using e-government Gosuslugi website or through the pension fund office and get 10,000 rubles from June the 1st. Now again, all combined, there'll be 27 Russian children that will get this assistance from babies to school children. We also need to take care of these families and also of the elderly. Colleagues, you know that almost every week we conduct meetings to support the key industries.
We are coming up with new and new targeted solutions, and this practice will be continued in the future. We'll be discussing the situation in the agricultural sector, in the light manufacturing sector, IT and communications fields as well. But there is one systemic problem, an acute problem that we should take care of. According to the official data, the number of the unemployed in Russia is now 1,400,000, which is twice higher than we had back at the beginning of April. The situation is dire, and we need to stabilize the labor market to support those who lost their jobs. And I'm calling on the government to develop more solutions to solve this problem, and we'll discuss them by the end of May. Our key priority here is to reduce the risk of further unemployment growth, and here we need to be proactive. We need to act in the anticipatory manner. We need to support highly qualified professionals. This is our capital, labor capital, and we need to take care of it. So the measures which have been adopted are first and foremost directed at maintaining resilient and sustainable work of the industries and companies. What we need to do further on is to save jobs, save working teams, infrastructure, the potential of our businesses, because today we should save jobs. And entrepreneurs and company holders should be able to save their working teams, build up their capabilities, and bring the economic life to normal. Small and medium-sized companies who suffered the most, as well as the social-oriented companies, we are giving them an additional benefit to help them with loans to pay salaries to their salarymen, to their employees. That is being done to maintain the job levels. And there is a requirement, they should preserve at least 90% of their workers as of the beginning of this spring. We'll be helping millions of people, and we need to understand what the long-term perspectives are, so that the companies will be more confident about their future. They will take appropriate long-term action, not short-term action. And that is why we need to adopt a number of additional measures. First, starting from June the 1st, we will be rolling out a special loan program to help the labor market. All companies who suffered the most will be able to get these loans, as well as the companies which work in the social sector. This way, we will help 7 million people to save their jobs. The loan will be calculated in the following way: one minimum wage per one salary for the next 6 months. And the loan will need to be paid for only next year, that will be 2021, 1st of April. This way we will help companies, and the loan interest rate will be a beneficial, preferential one. There will be no need to pay the installments every month. They will be capitalized. Also, this loan will be guaranteed by the state for 85% of its volume. What is important is that throughout the whole operation of this program, the company maintains the employment level at the level of 90% of its regular, its former size. Then after the loan is over, the loan itself and its interest rates will be reduced to zero. It will be settled, and the state guarantees that. If that company maintains its employment at the level of 80%, then half of the loan and interest rates will be cut. Such a loan may be used flexibly. It may be used to pay salaries to the employees, and it may be used to refinance the previously acquired loans, the so-called zero interest rate salary loan.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.